Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. That will be next time. Hallelujah. God is good and God is here today. I just want to talk a little while because I'm so happy about what the Lord is doing. Just rejoicing in what He's doing is so very, very wonderful today. Praise God. Hallelujah. We have people coming to our website from right now in the United States. I guess globally, China is one of our most frequent visitors to our website. But there is now Hollywood, California. Is one of our most frequent websites. So I don't know who is coming to our website from Hollywood, but God is a God that just can do anything. There's nothing too hard for Him, and there's no one that He gives up on. Amen. So we're grateful that God is moving in Hollywood. That people are coming to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ from Hollywood, California. Amen. I want to read from John 10 and verse 3 real quickly today for just a little while. Listen to this very carefully. I always pictured God sitting high up on His throne, way up in the heavens, far from me. Jesus was the one that I kind of could relate to more personally and intimately, but God the Father seemed so distant. Because He was the one that sits high and lofty. The Bible calls Him the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity. One of the series that is most downloaded on our website of teachings is teachings on the 23rd Psalm. When we had a 15-minute broadcast and we just taught it all from a shepherd's point of view. And as I begin to look into shepherds and how they deal with their sheep, I begin to understand more some of the sayings of Jesus because He identified Himself as a shepherd more than anything else to His people, a shepherd. Amen. And God, David knew God in the Old Testament as a shepherd God. He was a shepherd king. And he knew God as a shepherd God. And one of the greatest psalms ever written, one of the most utilized psalms in all of the psalms is Psalm 23. The Lord, because of the comfort, because of the counsel there, because of the love of God and the watch care of God over His people, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. But Jesus said something that would help us get closer to the intimacy of the Father as well, because He said, when you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. I and My Father are one. He said, I don't do anything that I don't see My Father do, and I don't say anything that I don't hear My Father say. My works are not My own. They're what the Father is expressing through Me. When you've seen Me, you have seen the Father. And this mystical, majestic, wonderful, powerful God, amen, made Himself fully known through His Son. Amen. The Bible called Jesus the express image of Him. And that Jesus actually brought Him out for all to see. Because Jesus, every word and every work was expressing the character and the nature and the personality of this God who is a spirit who inhabits eternity. Amen. And yet, He's concerned enough for you and me that He would give His only begotten Son to save us. So if you think you're just part of the Christian herd, I want to change that if we can biblically today. I want you to know that you're not part of the herd. You know, the Bible said no temptation has taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful who will not allow you, not the herd, but you personally. Amen. In other words, God knows what you can take and God knows what you need. And God knows exactly how to fix what's wrong in you and me. Jesus tried to get it through to us. He said, a sparrow is the least of the birds in the marketplace. It's sold for a farthing, and not one sparrow falls without your Father. He's touched when He's not just talking about, He's talking about when one sparrow lives out his lifetime and falls to the earth, it touches the heart of God. Isn't it amazing that a God this big, this wonderful, this powerful is touched when one little sparrow falls from the sky? He doesn't. Your Father stops and feels that. He feels that. Amen. He takes note of that. And then he looked at those people and said, you're worth... See, the religious system of their day was full of hardness and coldness and malice and unforgiveness. They would stone you to death without blinking an eye. But Jesus came to change all of that. Can you say amen? And wow, did he change all of that. He introduced something called grace and mercy. Hallelujah. And he told us about a God that commended his love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. And he introduced us to that shepherd God that David began to know and to understand by becoming that good shepherd himself. And I like John 1 and verse 3 because, oh, by the way, let me just stop right here. Because it said the very hair of your head is numbered. Your Father is that intimate. He's that personal. The very hair of your head is numbered. So if you think that you just don't measure up, if you think that, yeah, God will do that for Brother Venable, but he won't do it for me. You know, I pray today that before this service is over, that you will feel so enveloped in the love of God, that you will love him back with everything that you are and everything that you have. But beyond that, that you will be bold and confident in your walk with him because he doesn't have any stepchildren. Amen. The Bible said that Paul looked out at a congregation of people at different levels of spiritual growth. And you know what he said? He said, it doesn't appear what we shall be. We can't see that. We look through a glass darkly. I mean, our minds try to get wrapped around it, but the Bible said when he comes, we're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, incorruptible. That can break down and die, and that can sin and mess up, corruptible is going to put on incorruption. And mortal, that can die and pass away, is going to put on immortality. Hallelujah. So now corruption is gone, and mortality is gone, and we're incorruptible, and we are immortal. He's brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. No more struggle with sin. Corruption is gone. Can you say amen? And it doesn't appear how that's going to feel, what we're going to be like. I mean, we're going to be in these bodies, but it's going to be different. It's going to be fashioned after his glorious body. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Listen, that is going to be so spectacular when that takes place. But Paul said beyond that, that's something future. That's something coming. That's so glorious. But right now, here and now, in this moment in time, now you are the sons of God. Make no mistake about it. You're not a stepchild. You're not the black sheep in the family. We're all black sheep, but we're all in the family. Can you say amen? Amen? Yeah, there's none righteous before we came to Christ. No, not one. Everyone sinned. Everyone came short of the glory of God. Instead of coming to point that out to us, Jesus came to take our place and take our punishment so we could be forgiven. Sweetest word in the Bible is forgiven. There's no word like it. There's nothing that should be as valued in your life is the fact that you have been forgiven. And as long as you appreciate forgiveness, the first love is going to burn bright. If you ever lose the appreciation for forgiveness in your life, then that love will ultimately begin to cool down and cool off, and you can become callous and go through religious ritual, and the passion for Jesus will be gone. But I'm beginning to taste. Just looking at those people being baptized, I remember when I was baptized in water. I remember when I was born again. I remember when I tasted the goodness of God and how sweet it was to my taste. I tasted for myself the grace of God. Hallelujah. I tasted the mercy of the Lord. And it made me want more and more and more. And one of my favorite songs back then was Tell Me More, Tell Me More. Tell me more about Jesus, more of his mercy, more of his grace, more of his love my soul can trace. Tell me more. about Jesus. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. There's nothing that attracts me when, oh, there's all kinds of good prophecy teachers. I enjoy listening to them break it down and understanding Israel's role and our role and what's coming. And all of that is so intriguing and interesting. But friend, that is not what attracts me. That's not what makes me get, oh, yes, I understand there are people with great understanding of the netherworld. They know all the classes of demons and devils. They know them by name. They know the whole hierarchy of Satan inside and out. And you can go learn a lot about the devil. Amen. There's only one thing you truly need to know about the devil. Yeah, that too. Amen. He was defeated concerning the believer at the cross. Make no mistake about it. Hallelujah. He was defeated. Jesus led captivity captive. He gave gifts unto men. And I'm telling you, I like that guy that came over. Amen. His daddy was a voodoo priest in South Africa. An evangelist went down there and preached Christ to them. Amen. Hallelujah. And this young man was in training to become the successor to his dad. And he would be the guy that did all that had the familiar spirit and all of these different witchcraft stuff and occult stuff. And he came to the meeting. He said he had already begun to feel that power as he began to search in the dark regions for power. And he came to that meeting. And he said, the evangelist came. And he was really against it. He wanted to see what it's about. Said the evangelist came and shook his hand. And said, when the evangelist shook his hand, he said, it's like all of that power went out of me. From the other side, from the dark side. Said it was gone. He said he went back and he said, Daddy. Or not to his dad. He said, Dad. He said, when I shook hands with that man, he said, I just wanted to see what he was all about. Said, all of that power that was building inside of me, he said, it was gone. He said, Dad, said, this man that he's preaching, he has all the power. He's the powerful one. Anyway, he came back to the meeting. He got saved. He gave his heart to Jesus Christ. And he came to America as a saved man. And he was preaching in America because God brought him from that darkness. And these Christians come around him and say, oh, you were in such deep occult. You were in such deep witchcraft and the occult. I imagine those demons, don't they continue to come back and trouble you and bother you and because you were there and yeah, they knew you and they're mad because you left them. And don't they follow you now and try to torment you and come against you? Don't you have to plead the blood all the time just to be able to function? He said, oh, no. He said, I don't have any problem with that. He said, Jesus Christ has defeated the enemy. I have no problem with them because I have him. And they said, well, what is the secret to victory like that? We want to know because some Christians got so far over into the dark side that they forgot about who was for them. They only concentrated on who was against them. Can you say amen? Listen to me. Amen. He that's within you, make no mistake about it. He that's in you is greater than he that is in this world. Praise the Lord. Behold, Jesus said. Everybody say, look at him. If he'd have been in the South, that's how he would have said it. Look at him. Amen. I have given you power over all, not some, not most, not 99%, but I have given you power over all of the power of the devil. Oh, somebody tell me more. Tell me more. Tell me more about Jesus. If you want victory over the devil, don't study the devil. Study Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Get involved in his victory. Praise the Lord. And they finally asked this young evangelist, they said, how do you walk in such victory? How do you keep your mind from being tormented by all of that stuff? And he looked back at him and finally he just says, flies don't land on a hot stove. I like that. You stay filled with the Holy Spirit. You stay focused on Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And that wedge of fear won't be able to get into your heart and your mind. Hallelujah. Behold, I give you power over all of the power of the devil. Can you say amen? Glory be to God. God cares for you. He's a God that keeps you. We're kept by the power of God. We have to trust Him to be kept. But when we trust Him, make no mistake, He keeps us. And that's why the Bible said, now unto Him who is able to keep you from falling, which means going back into sin. Some people won't come to Christ because they're afraid they can't walk it out and they don't want to be a hypocrite. That's commendable. But you can't walk it out in yourself. And God doesn't even expect you to. There's a scripture in John's Gospel, chapter 1, and it says, as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God. Can you say, man, that authority to be brought into His royal family, to be changed from the inside out, is because we come to Him just like we are. And we confess our sin, and we ask His forgiveness, and we invite Him into our life. Can you say, man? And once He comes into our life, He starts something on the inside. He that began a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. For it is God, not you in your own human effort to turn over a new leaf. He's offering you a new life. It is God that worketh in you, the scripture said, both to will and to do. Hallelujah. That's why Paul said, it's no more I that live. It's Christ that's doing this. Christ that liveth in me. Can you? I'm dead, but yet I'm alive. And yet, it's no more I that's alive. It's Christ that's living it out through me. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. There's joy in this thing. There's victory in this thing.
Hallelujah.
I remember when Allie Hine came over from Africa. We were supporting them to a degree and prayerfully all of the time. And I remember when she came, and she was so kind of matter-of-fact about demon expressions when demons would act up. And this, she said, they went out to this one tribe. They escaped death many times, sometimes angelic deliverances, her and her husband and their children. But anyway, she said, we went out to this one tribe and said this one lady got down on the ground, began to roar like a lion, and run on all fours toward her. Just picked her out of it, you know, come. I mean, demon possessed. If you, here in America, you probably haven't seen that to any large degree, but if you get into some of those third world countries where they actually are involved in devil worship and inviting these spirits within, you see a lot of that. But for Allie, it was commonplace. It was like, no big deal. Now, for me, you know, if Ditter jumped down on all fours and started roaring and running at me, that would be a big deal for me. That would be unusual here. Amen? I don't know why I picked Ditter as an illustration. I haven't picked on her so long, I'm making up for lost time today. And I was, you know, I was waiting to hear what she did. And she said, that person ran at her, growling like a lion, eyes filled with hate and rage, on all fours. And she said, devil, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. And she's got that British, I said, get away from here. I said, that lady flattened out like one of those dogs that's been abused, just pancaked and became docile. The demon inside her knew he had come in contact with a person that knew the authority that was vested in the name of Jesus when used by a true Christian. Can you say amen? And he knew, I can't keep this up. No, because all the power that's vested in that name amen, has been released right here today. And I want you to know, if you don't know the power and the glory of that name, I want you to know there's not a devil in hell that doubts the power and the glory. For in my name you shall cast out devils and you shall tread on serpents. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. I said you shall tread on serpents. And you don't get victory over the devil by studying the devil. You get victory over the devil by studying Jesus. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I know there's powers and principalities, and I know this and I know that. I know. We can go into deep depths and we can begin to get a comprehension of the netherworld. But what you need to know is that Jesus is Lord. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. And there's power in His name. And we're off my message, but I just want you to get that, because I remember when the church, I remember two ladies of our church supposed to meet for prayer, two prayer partners and friends that pray together, go out to eat together. And the one got there, and I was church cleaning, and one got there and kept looking at her watch. And I'd put in the vacuum up, and she said, so-and-so told me she'd be here at 6 p.m. to pray. It's 6:30. She must have a lying spirit. What? This is your sister in the Lord. She might have a flat tire. She may have engine trouble. She may be caught. The popo might have pulled her over, writing her up. I don't know, because she was rushing to get there. Afraid you might accuse her of having a lying spirit. Amen? I mean, it got so ridiculous. Everything was a spirit. And you know something? The devil got the blame for so much, no one took responsibility for their old flesh. That's why. Uh-huh. Yeah, the devil made me do it. You know? That's great for Flip Wilson. You know what I mean? Remember him? He put on the Geraldine persona, and he comes home, or she comes home, and it's getting difficult to tell out there. So that was crazy back then, but it's here now. But anyway, she comes home and says, I bought this dress. It cost $1,500. The husband's going crazy. Said, well, I didn't want to do it, but the devil made me do it. And I resisted him, but he pulled a gun. And that's the silliness of giving that kind of credit to the devil when we are the blood-washed, blood-bought sons and daughters of the living God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And have been delegated authority. Jesus said, I've got all power. Has been given me in heaven and earth. God has given me authority over all these realms in heaven and earth. And he said, and I've got it, and I can delegate it to you. Can you say amen? Even as my Father sent me, so send I you. Can you say amen? Glory to God. And how did God send him? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Yes, we are a church that believes in the power and person and presence of the Holy Ghost. We, in fact, believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We believe we need the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? You can call him Holy Spirit in the Uptown Church, but you ain't there today. Hallelujah. He's the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And he's here today. And he lives within us today. And he manifests the presence of the Father and the Son in our life today. Hallelujah. Praise God. This is a powerful gospel. This is a joyous gospel. Hallelujah. We should flick the devil off of us. Amen. Like flicking a fly off of us. In fact, if we're a hot stove, we shouldn't have to flick him off. That's right. Then you say amen. Hallelujah. Now, if you want to go and just give more credit to the devil and get under that fearful thing and become accusative and critical of everybody and look for a spirit under every seat, let me tell you something. The devil's the first one in every door of every church in America. Not himself, but one of his minions. Oh, he's not going to let us sit here and have a free flow. He's going to try to disrupt and cause trouble. I expect him to show up. But don't you think we ought to purge this place? Well, we can't purge the universe of the devil. We got to learn to put on the armor of God and defeat him. Can you say amen? One of the ways to defeat him is quit thinking about him all the time. Can you say amen? My Bible said you'll always have enemies. Amen. They'll come out against you one way, but it won't do them any good. They'll flee before you seven ways. Can you say amen? Dale used to sing it. I want to hear you sing it again one Sunday. You got to sing it again, Dale. Let's go up to the enemy's camp and take back what he stole from us. Can you say amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm not saying we shouldn't understand our adversary. I'm saying we shouldn't stay focused on that to where we become fearful and accusing. Focus on Jesus. People go to the book of Revelation looking for who the Antichrist may be. Until he's revealed, nobody's going to be able to figure it out. You might figure out he's coming from Europe. You might figure out this and that about him. But until he is revealed, no one's going to figure him out. How do you know? Because they back when Kaiser Wilhelm was the head of Germany, they labeled him the Antichrist. When Hitler came along, they said, yeah, he's the Antichrist. Amen. They said some bad, pretty close things about Nixon, but I don't know why. And everybody hated him. So he messed up, but he wasn't the Antichrist. Amen. Kissinger, yeah. And they just keep you. Prophecies has to be updated because a lot of things people predicted and said was this and that. It just didn't happen because it's not time for us to figure all that out. But if you go to the book of Revelation and you say, I got to figure this out. What's that? What is this? What is that? Well, wait a minute. Go back to the start. The start says the revelation of who the Antichrist is to St. John. No. The revelation of the great tribulation. No. Amen. It's not about that. That's in there, but that's not what the focus of the book of Revelation is about. It said it starts out in chapter 1. Oh, but I want to figure this out. Why? Amen. You're sealed by the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. And God has, listen, from the fourth verse to the 20th chapter, fourth chapter to the 20th chapter, John is here on earth. Amen. He hears a voice like a trumpet saying, come up here. Woo! Does that sound like anything else to you? Sound to me like 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Amen. I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning those that are asleep or dead in Christ. Amen. For the trump of God shall sound, and the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. The dead in Christ shall rise. We which are living and remain will be caught up with them to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. John is standing on planet Earth, but he hears a voice like a trumpet. Well, what do you think that voice said? It said, come up here. That's what Revelation says. Come up here. You're on the earth, but I'm bringing you from the earth, and now you're going to look back at the earth, but you're going to look at the earth from my vantage point with me. Amen. I know you want to go through the tribulation real bad. I'm sorry to disappoint you. The whole bowl judgments, the whole trumpets, oh, they do like it. Some people live for it. They'll tell you right quick, rapture's not in the Bible. What do you call 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? We're meeting the Lord in the air. What are you going to label that? Oh, by the way, Trinity isn't in the Bible either. There's not a scripture that uses the word Trinity. There's scripture all over the place that tells us there is a Father and a Son and the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise God. Rapture means to snatch away. Praise God. Hallelujah. To catch up. Praise God. Amen. I love 1 Thessalonians because it goes on to say, well, let me read you something out of Revelation. I'm just trying to get all the fear out, get the faith back in, get a joyous anticipation of future good. Can you say, man, well, God has to purify the church. No, he don't. He purifies the church with the washing of water by his word. He don't need to hurt us. and torment us and torture us to make us pure. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He just provokes us to love him enough to surrender to his word and his will and let that word bring forth fruit in our life. So if you want to go study the devil, you're in the wrong church. We ain't going to give him a lot of time here. Oh, but there's places you can go to get real familiar with him and his minions and his hierarchy and all that. Listen, he that's in you is greater. In my name, you will tread on serpents and you will cast out devils. Can you say amen? Submit yourself, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil. And, oh, Lord, you're going to be in for it then. Because powers and principalities and wickedness, all of that is going to descend upon. No, it's not. Amen. Submit yourself, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil. And he will what? He will what? He will what? Flee. Flee. Everybody say flee. I looked up that word in the Greek. It means to run in panic. The Bible said, thou believest there's one God. Let me tell you what the devil knows about God. Can you say, man, the book of James, it said that. Everybody again say run in panic. I don't want you to miss that. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible said, thou believest there's one God. Thou doest well. The devils believe and tremble. Tremble, tremble. I looked up that word tremble, and it meant to cause the hair. It said to cause the skin to crawl and the hair to stand up on end. Can you say amen? I don't know if you've ever had your skin crawl, amen, and your hair stand up on end on any occasion. But whatever it was, multiply that by 1,000, and you'll know how the devil understands this God, amen, that we serve. Make no mistake about it, he that's in you. Listen, remember the cartoons? There would be this cartoon character, and a little devil sit on this shoulder, and an angel sit over here. And he wanting to steal something, or he wanting to hit somebody. And that little devil said, hit him, hit him, hit him. And that angel said, don't do that. Oh, please don't do that. And he's torn between the two equal powers. And the two equal powers are pulling at him. And he makes the deciding point one way or the other that gives it. But they're two equal powers pulling back. No, these are not two equal powers. Amen. They thought they were doing something big when they were casting out devils through the anointing and the authority of Jesus' name. And they came back rejoicing that demons were subject unto them. And the first thing Jesus told them, don't rejoice because demons are subject, but that your name's written in the book of life. And then he said something about the devil. He said, that devil that you have been given authority over, he's a fallen angel. He's been divested of it. Listen, you take deception away from him, you take everything he's got away from him concerning the Christian. Can you say amen? He's a fallen angel, divested of his position, divested of his power, divested of his authority. The devil ain't what he used to be. Can you say amen? No, he isn't. Listen to me carefully. He said, don't rejoice because demons are subject to you. Rejoice because your name's written in heaven. I behave Satan as lightning fall from heaven. If through my name you defeat him and cast him out, it's no big deal. You just defeated a fallen foe. Oh, give Jesus a hand clap. Hallelujah. You've been watching too many Stephen King movies. The Exorcist, where the poor priest loses and the devil wins. I mean, you cut this character's head off and you blow him up and you set fire to him and you think you got him and everybody's resting easy. And there's a hand laying over here with nobody attached to it. And the camera zooms in on that hand and a finger goes twitch. And it's, oh, Lord, he's back. And you know the 18th chapter of that's going to come. But somehow or another he'll survive and he'll prevail. That's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is not a Stephen King novel. This is spiritual, amen, reality and spiritual truth. And God has defeated your greatest foe at the cross. Can you say amen? He led captivity captive. Glory be to God. It's in this week's radio broadcast because we're talking on radio about Christ's triumph, the cross, Christ's triumph, and Satan's terror. Can you say amen? Christ's triumph and the devil's defeat. When the Romans came back from their world conquest victories, they led the procession would be led by the Roman Imperial Guard. The mightiest soldiers of Rome would march in the forefront. And then behind them would come a chariot, and the captains of war would be in these chariots pulled by white horses. These are the men that led that battle. And then behind them would come a string of beleaguered, bewildered, beaten, bloodied, emaciated, defeated soldiers that they had taken captive. And then they would be led in that procession. Amen. And that's the imagery that Paul used for what Jesus did to all of those powers of darkness through the cross. Can you say amen in our behalf? He led captivity captive. He made an open show of it, of them. Can you say amen? In other words, all of those that were such a powerful foe against us have been defeated and disarmed, decimated, hallelujah, through the cross of Jesus Christ, through His shed blood, through our salvation. I remember Brother Hobbs. You know Brother Hobbs here telling us about being house parents for a kids' retreat. Teenagers, they were on this church retreat. Well, they wanted to know about demonology and demons and devils, so they set up to 12 o'clock talking about the scriptures and demons and devils and all of this stuff, and they got so focused on the devil. So it came time now to go to sleep. Now, you've spent the whole night not focusing on Christ and His victory, the authority of the believer, but the devil and his powers. And people, I knew this person was demon-possessed, and this person, and this spirit came in this room, and they're all sitting there. It's just like, you know, they thrive on it until it come time for the lights to go out. Amen? But when the lights went out and it's time to go to bed, and all these impressionable 13 and 14-year-olds now are so full of the devil, can you say, man, the lights go out. The lights go down. He said it wasn't 20 minutes after lights out, you know, and they're sleeping on their pallets up front, and all the kids are out in there sleeping, till all of a sudden some gal over here goes, "Ah!" And then the lights come on, and everybody's jumping up, and they say, "What happened? What happened?" "Well, I thought I heard something. I thought I saw something, a glimmer, something. I don't know what it was. I don't know if I was dreaming or what, but okay, it'd be all right. It's okay. There's nothing over there." Turn the lights back out. You know, lights go out, and some guy over here goes, "Oh, help me, Jesus, help me." And they turn the lights on. "I felt something. It felt like it crawled on me. I don't know." And then they're, all night long, they're up praying and rebuking and pleading the blood and trying to get people focused off the devil and back on Jesus. Amen? That's why I say get that stove warmed up. Hallelujah. Get on fire for God. Find out who you are in Jesus and who He is in you. Can you say amen? Stay away from the Ouija board. Stay away from all that stuff that you know is wrong. Give no place to the devil, because if you don't give it to him, I said if you don't give it to him, he has no authority to take it from you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You can't spoil a man's goods until you bind the strong man. I'd like to see him try it. And I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about He that lives and dwells within me. Can you say amen? I'll give Him praise in here. God cares about you. He didn't leave you down here helpless and hapless. Hallelujah. All night long. Oh, David said, "My meditation of Him shall be sweet." You think the devil comes here? Absolutely. Jesus said, "Satan has desired to have you." I thought all these years it was just Peter, but as I researched more and more, it's in the plural. It's all the believers. Peter was one of this flock. Satan has desired to have all of you, that he may sift all of you as the wheat. But I have prayed for all of you, that your faith fail not. And when thou art converted, any one of you, strengthen your brethren. Can you say amen? Strengthen your brethren. Hallelujah. That means Anyone in here that feeling your spiritual oats, you think you got a few revelations, you think you understand some things, you think you're tall enough to look down on the rest of or most other people, throw them a rope. Don't criticize them. Amen. Don't throw them a rope. Magnify Jesus to them. Lift up Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Oh, Brother Bimble, I believe there's a spirit of something here. I don't doubt that there's a spirit of everything the devil's got in his arsenal. Can you say amen? But let me tell you something. We're still going strong, and we're still going on, and we're still worshiping God, and we're still seeing families restored. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? We don't run from the devil. He runs from us around here. Look at him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I said we don't run from the devil. He runs from us. Yes. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you keep trying to find a church where the devil don't go, it's a church that ain't worth going to. Amen. Can you say amen? If the devil don't go, you ought not go. That's a good rule of thumb. If the devil don't fight it, it must not be a threat to him. And I don't want to be no part of no dead church. Can you say amen? But if the devil's fighting tooth and toenail, I want to be part of that group, because we're going to win. He's going to lose. Jesus is going to be magnified. God is going to be glorified. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, some of you are going to get convicted today. I'm glad you are, because I don't want you spreading no unbelief and no doubt and no fear in this church. I will withstand you to your face, to your back, and on both sides on that. Amen. Brother Ben will say that to my face. I will. I'll look you dead in the eye and say, this pastor don't tolerate that stuff. You want to learn about the devil instead of Jesus? You go somewhere where they made your own demons. But if you want victory over those demons, you come here where we magnify Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. One little word shall fail him. And that word is Jesus. Can you say amen? I don't serve a weak God. I don't serve an equal God. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. So you just defeated a fallen angel, divested of his power and authority over you through my name. That's nothing to brag about. Boast in the fact that your name is written in heaven. Keep the joy of your salvation. Hallelujah. Now, for those that disagree, too bad. Deal with it. You're in a different church today. Well, I wasn't taught that way. Well, you're not in your church today. Hallelujah. In this church, you can't blame the devil for everything. You got to man up and woman up. Realize that every man is tempted not when he's overcome by demons and devils, but every man's tempted when he's led away of his own lust and enticed. Can you say, man, if it wasn't in you, he couldn't appeal to it in the first place. It's something in our flesh. And if we crucify the flesh and the lust thereof and walk in the Spirit that we might not fulfill the lust of the flesh, then we can submit ourselves to God. And if we submit ourselves to God and resist the devil, amen, then the Bible said he has no choice. There is no argument. Hallelujah. He will flee to run as in panic. Thou believest there's one God, thou doest well. The devils believe and tremble. Tremble in the Greek means to have the skin to crawl and the hair to stand up on end. Hallelujah. Flee means to run as in panic. Anybody ever run panic stricken? Adrenal glands kick in. I wish they had clocked me a couple of times in my life when I ran as in panic. I wish they could have caught Pamela running from a snake. It was a water moccasin. She should have got away from. The woman can run. I thought I heard her say, beep, beep. I threw rocks at that bad boy. Run him off. About to eat one of those pretty rabbits. I'm not too fond of them myself. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Listen to me carefully. When the Bible said, thou shalt take up serpents, he's not talking about handling snakes. He's talking about dealing with that world and not being afraid of it and having authority over it. How can you say, man? Hallelujah. 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 No, you bring that snake, you and that snake both going to get hurt. I love you, brother, but I'm gonna go like that on the snake and whoever's holding him. They did that up in Kentucky where I'm from. They handled them bad boys. And you say, well, why? You know, some people got bit. Some people almost died. Some did die. And some people, they actually handle those. They reach in there and pull them things out and handle them. And, you know, I've been trying to figure that out. And then I think I finally got some of it figured out. Number one, the devil will get into all of that mess, and he will do some things on his end, just try to get people out in the deep end. Amen. But I think the snakes just were bewildered. I can't believe that big old rattlesnake down there saying, "What?" He putting it around his neck like a necktie, and the snake saying, "What? I can't believe it. The man done picked me up, put me around his neck. I can't bite this man. This man is crazy. I don't want none of his blood in my mouth. Can you say, that man is crazy? And I killed the snake. Snake said, I ain't biting him. He's toxic. Craziness. Craziness gets in the church. And what we need is Jesus. Tell me more. Tell me more. Tell me more about Jesus. More of his mercy. More of his grace. Hallelujah. The Bible said in the book of Revelation, when all those bowls start and all those trumpets sound and all the wrath of God is being poured out upon the earth, John said, when it began, I saw the great men, the small men, the rich men and the poor men, the bond men and the free man ran to the rocks and the mountains and asked them to fall upon them and cover them from the face of him who sits upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Wrath doesn't mean God gets mad and God's going to bust heads. Wrath means justifiable anger. It means that God's cup of indignation is full, grace has been rejected, and he's obligated to send his judgments into the land. Can you say amen? Listen to me very carefully. There is a scripture concerning you and me in 1 Thessalonians, and it said God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Listen, if any of that touches you in any way, you're experiencing the wrath of God. But Jesus said something about that, didn't he? As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the day that the Son of Man cometh. How was it in the days of Noah? Amen. God said, Noah, build a boat. Build an ark. Amen. And only his children listen. He preached for 120 years and built for 120 years. But when he got in that ark, he said, before you close that door, I close the door, seal it within and seal it without. And that meant in the roof of it and in the bottom of it, you put bitumen or something like tar to keep the water from coming in and the water from coming through from the top, because it never had rained. And I looked up that word for tar. It's got a dual meaning in the Hebrew. It means actual tar, that you take that black tar and you seal the cracks so no waters of the judgment can touch the righteous. Pitch, exactly. Pitch it within and pitch it without. Double layer pitch. Hallelujah. I looked up that word, and it also is a word that was used to redeem. One of the words for redeem. What we're seeing in that picture is God's redemption. And those that are redeemed are in a place of security. Amen. Well, Brother Venable, God can take us through. No, he can't. I'm sorry, he can't. Oh, he can't do what he's going to do. How many believe there's some Christians in the islands of the sea? We see them all the time on here worship God. Well, there's going to earthquake come during tribulation, and every island, without exception, is going to be overrun. That's the wrath of God. Where are they going to go? Jim Baker is going to sell you dried fruit. Hailstones are going to fall, weighing 96 pounds. And you need some meals that you can cook. You know what I'm saying? Jim's going to sell you $1,000 worth of food for you to eat during this time that's coming, and hailstones are going to fall weighing 96 pounds. Water's going to turn to blood. Food ain't going to do you no good. Can't put that sack of food on your head. You're calling names this morning. Yeah, I'm going to call names. I'm going to do more than take names before this service is over. I feel the authority of God in here. That fear is permeating the church of Jesus Christ. We ought to be joyful. When you see these things begin to come to your past, dig a hole in the ground and crawl in it. No, sirree. When you see these things start, when you see them begin, lift up your head. Why? Because your redemption is drawing now. It's close, Brother Taylor. Can you say amen? It's at the doors. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. As it was in the day of Lot, so shall it be in the day that the Son of Man cometh. Lot, get out of this city. Lot gets out of the city with his wife and children. Amen. He walks out into the plain between Sodom and Gomorrah, and he's trying to make up his mind which way to go. And the angel of the Lord says, Lot, make up your mind and move. Are you ready? For I can do nothing until you are safe and secure. None of this fire can touch you. This is the wrath of God, and you're not appointed to it. Oh, hallelujah. Who said that? Jesus said it's going to be like that. Jesus said it's going to be just like that when I come. Woo! That's what it's going to be like. You can grow you a beard, put on a hat, that don't make you a prophet. You can drive a Rolls Royce and that don't make you a know-it-all pastor. God's word is final. God's word is sure. God's word is true. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God's word speaks clearly. You got some Christian acquaintances that want to pick at everything. They'll fill you with fear. They'll paint your future dark and bleak and black. But I'm telling you, your future is bright and it is beautiful. Hallelujah. Now you are the sons of God. Hallelujah. Heirs of God. And join heirs with Jesus Christ. And he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, we don't elevate devils here. We lift up Jesus. We're not looking for a hopeless end. We're looking for an endless hope. Hallelujah. We're not looking for a hole in the ground. We're looking for a hole in the sky. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Jesus is actually coming. And Paul said, comfort one another with these words. It's going to happen. Hallelujah. So comfort one another. It's going to get real tough down there. When it starts getting like that and you see all the evidence of the end, look up. Your redemption is almost here. Can you say amen? Time to go. Hallelujah. Say it again. Time to go. Praise God. Well, I'm packing up, getting ready to go. I'm packing up, getting ready to go. I'm packing up, getting ready to go. Are you packed up? Are you ready to go? Your lamps are trimmed and burning. Well, now, John 10:3 simply says, this is the intimacy, the watch care, and all this is about God's watch care, his love for you. This is that wonderful revelation of Jesus, of shepherd, through him that David was talking about in the old covenant. He's showing him God as a shepherd, showing him himself. He said he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. He calleth his own sheep by name. Do you know what it means for God to not look at you as part of the herd, but to know you by name? By name. That song we sing, I Will Remember, it said, I still remember And he called me by name. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Is he just knocking? No. He said, he that heareth my voice. I want you to know, when he called you, it wasn't a general call. It was a specific call. And he called Sherry. He knocked at the door. And he said, Sherry, come to me. When he called Michael, he didn't just knock at the door, bang on his door to bother him into the kingdom. He called him by name. He said, Michael, come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you, Michael, rest. A good shepherd doesn't see just the herd of sheep, but he knows them all by name. And Jesus, knowing our name, means that he cares about us intimately and personally. A Palestinian sheep pen had walls, but only one entrance, where the shepherd slept to protect the sheep from predators. That's why he said, I'm the door of the sheepfold. It didn't have a door. He slept in that entrance, and therefore he became the door. He said, for something to harm you, it's got to get past me. So you sleep and be still. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. The shepherd would lead the sheep, not drive them, for they knew his voice. They had individual names and often a description of each sheep's unique peculiarities. Color, marking, shape, size, etc. Throughout the Bible, names are important. One's name is more than a label for postal envelopes or a file in the tax department. The shepherd would risk his life for their safety. But Jesus, the good shepherd, lays down his life for his sheep. 5 times he refers to his death for the flock. Usually sheep are offered as a blood sacrifice for the shepherd. Here the shepherd offers himself a blood sacrifice for the sheep. We who are not part of Judaism are the other sheep. However, we belong to one flock with one shepherd, one united church of God around the world. But although we're part of that great growing flock, he sees us and knows us individually. That is the glory, amen, of the shepherd's heart. The Lord is my shepherd. Say it with me. The Lord is my shepherd. He knows me by name. I am well cared for. He that died for me will provide for me, and he will protect me. We live in a fallen world in faulty bodies. There's suffering everywhere you turn, sickness and suffering, and it's touching all kind of people around the world. Some people have lost their mom and daddy to age, and it's easier to accept that we miss them terribly. Others are losing their children before their time. But God is a father who cares. He's touched when a sparrow falls. When he sees suffering, his heart goes out. And he cares about you. That's why I want to tell you more about Jesus. I want you to get tenderized by him in your heart. I want you to get desperate for him and dependent on him. And I want you to walk in bold faith, even though you're on shaky legs. Someone said, if your legs are shaky, fall on your knees. Can you say, man? For Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint on their knees, because it means we're looking to God, and God is not going to fail us today. Brother, would you come? We've got one song to close with here, and we're going to pray together. Hallelujah. We know this song by heart. If you want to sing along, you can. But wherever there's suffering, there's a heavenly Father that loves you. And he said, I'll come to you. When that veil was rent, not only can we go behind it, but he can come from behind it. He can come to where you are. He can come to where I am. Everybody say it again. He knows my name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's worship him before we pray together and close today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.